something from today's, this morning's class, please? So many
tribulations.
Thank you. Any other things remembered? Yes.
Hadi.
Mikey? Actually? What kind of a monkey? Huh? Yeah. Not other kinds. Only devotee monkeys. So what does that point to? The obvious point. Yeah, there's hope. Become a devotee, because we'll hear in the next canto something quite similar, how Vritrasura, even though he's in the body of a demon, not even a monkey, a demon. Monkey's business is just monkey business, mischief. But a demon's business is being averse to Krishna. But yet he was, although in a demon body, he was still, he possessed exalted devotional consciousness. So the same point is really brought out there as well. Any other points? Yes? The absorption in the material world. Thank you. Any other? What do they suffer from? Spiritual tribulations.
Yes.
What are they? What's a spiritual tribulation? With devotion. But being materially impoverished, in what sense? And they don't think of themselves as the possessor of anything of the material world. Because all things in the material world, they see as belonging to Krishna. Yeah. That is yuktara vairagya. Just seeing everything near bande, Krishna sambandhi. See everything in relationship to Krishna. This is quite difficult to do if one possesses a false ego, a sense of I am the enjoyer. If we have any sense of identity other than I am Krishna's servant, then not only is it difficult to be detached in the material world, it's impossible, practically speaking, because the very nature of Maya is to entangle us in the material world. Even if we become detached, we'll become proud, thinking of how renounced we are. Look at all these foolish people who are materially attached. So then we become attached to our renunciation. So the real art, or really the only art, is the art of devotion. Because through devotion, devotional service, one accomplishes everything. So how to become a devotee? How to increase our devotion? This is the question. How to increase our desires, our spiritual desires, how to become full in this way. And how do we do that if that's all we know? So we have to increase the devotion, really. Otherwise one is unable to become free from the bodily concept of life, practically speaking. Even for an impersonalist, he has to perform, have at least some devotional service to attain Brahma Sayuja. Srila Jiva Goswami has elaborately described this in his Sandarbhas. So now we shall continue in our tour of the different varshas. Which one shall we go to today, this afternoon? Shall we go to Bharat Varsha? Okay, we'll go to Bharat Varsha. Text 16. In the tract of land known as Bharat Varsha, as in Ilavritta Varsha, there are many mountains and rivers. Some of the mountains are known as Malaya, Mangalaprastha, Mainaka, Trikuta, Rishaba, Kutaka, Kolaka, Saya Devagiri, Rishamukha, Sri Saila Venkata Mahendra Varidara Vindya Suktiman Rikshagiri Pari Yatra Drona Chitrakuta Govardhana Raivataka Kakuba Nila Gomuka Indrakila and Kamagiri. Now, how many have you been to? Not the Malaya Hills or something different. But these are all, yeah, Trikuta. Beside these, there are many other hills with many large and small rivers flowing from their slopes. Two of the rivers, the Brahmaputra and Shona, are called nadas or main rivers. These are other great rivers that are very prominent. Chandravasa, Tamrapani, Avatoda, Kritamala, Vaihayas, let's say it all together. Kavadi, Veni, Payasvini, Sakaravarta, Tungabhadra, Krishna Venya, Bhimarata, Godavari, Vindhya, Prayoshni, Tapi, Reva, Surasa, Narmada, Chamanvati, Mahanadi, Vedasmriti, Rishikulya, Trisama, Koshika, Mandakini, Jamuna, Saraswati, Dristavati, Gomati, Sarayu, Rodasvati, Saptavati, Shoshoma, Shatadru, Chandrabhaga, Marudrita, Vitasta, Ashikni, Vishva. The inhabitants of Bharadvaja are purified because they always remember these rivers. Sometimes they chant the names of these rivers as mantras, and sometimes they go directly to the rivers to touch them and bathe in them. Thus the inhabitants of Bharadvaja become purified. Srila Prabhupada's short purport. All these rivers are transcendental, therefore one can be purified by remembering them. Which one would you like to remember? The Yamuna. Only the Yamuna. This practice is still going on.
And it's above the Yamuna also.
Was it very big? Well, there you go. Long or wide? Was it very wide and very long? So that's what nada and nadi. So the sona is also probably a male. This practice is still going on. Yes, okay. The people who take birth in this tract of land are divided according to the qualities of material nature. The modes of goodness, sattva-gun, passion, rajagun, and ignorance, tamagun. Some of them are born as exalted personalities, some are ordinary human beings, and some are extremely abominable. For in Bharadvarsha, one takes birth exactly according to one's past karma. So that looks like the different gunas, doesn't it? Deva, Manush, and Rakshash, astrological gunas. So you could see this in the... I'll read the rest of the verse. If one's position is ascertained by a bona fide spiritual master and one is properly trained to engage in the service of the Lord, of Lord Vishnu, according to the four social divisions, Brahma, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Sudra, and the four spiritual divisions, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas, one's life becomes perfect. So this is going to be a theme of the verses that we shall read today, or one of the themes. So one, regardless of the birth that one takes, if one is trained in the Varnashrama system, then one can perfect one's life. So Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, yatta pravritya bhutanam yena savamidam tatam, that if one just takes the fruit of one's work, or even the work itself in the Vanashrama and offers it to Krishna, trying to please Krishna by that work, then Krishna will be pleased and Krishna will accept it, because the duties of Vanashrama are the Vedic injunctions. This is one Swadharma on the physical and psychological level. And the Vedic injunctions in this regard, they are empowered by Krishna, by Krishna's giving them, and by Chaturvana Maya Shishtam Guna Karma Vabhagasa. So this system or organization allows one to take one's position, and amazingly enough, even if one has an abominable birth in the Rakshasagan, or even an ordinary Manusha birth, or to speak of a Deva birth, one would think externally that one's life must be abominable. But it doesn't have to be, as long as one, under proper guidance, engages in the service of the Lord, as the Vanashrama Dharma teaches one how to do. And that way one perfects one's life. Because Vanashrama means it's indirectly, because it's following Krishna's order, it's pleasing to him. So therefore it has at least some bhakti in it in that way. So it's exalted. So we'll discuss this right now. Why is Varnashrama society superior? Why is it required? Why is it superior? And then later we can ask, why is it not? Doesn't it happen, and it's so difficult to institute? So first, why is it so glorified? Yes, Mataji, say something good about the Varnashrama system. Why is it so recommended? You mean the karma that you're born within, you take that, and by following this system, you become elevated by it. How?
By following.
But how does that elevate one?
Following teachings. You mentioned the spiritual master guide.
That's what the under guidance, yeah. That's basically the idea, because this is Krishna's system. And by following the system, just by following it, it is pleasing to Krishna. So if one pleases Krishna, then one's life will move towards perfection. And then one, through that system, performs sacrifices. So there's so much discussion of this in the Bhagavad Gita, in the fourth chapter and the other chapters, how 18th chapter, how what qualities, what work to do and offer to Krishna. And one can see in the Vedic culture, or even in Bharatvarsha today, because it was especially very, 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 very strict about who one would marry. And one would marry someone in one's own category, in one's caste. There are so many different categories of Kshatriyas even. I don't remember how many there are, 8 or 6 or this or that. But you even marry within that strata of your Kshatriya, and there's problems if you don't. I remember one devotee who was in Fiji, and there's a large Gujarati community in Fiji, and he wasn't Gujarati, and even though he was a devotee, and so many of the devotees would. He couldn't know, because he wasn't a Soni. He couldn't find, no one would allow their daughter to marry him. Of course, this shouldn't be like that amongst devotees, but it's so strict. So we can look at it and find fault in it, in one sense. But in another sense, it's so ideal, because the marriages nowadays, first of all, everyone is mixed. Everyone has 2 parts this, 7 parts that, 8 parts that, 2 parts Kshatriya. Especially amongst the Westerners, you know, they're part this and part that and part that and part that, part Vaishya, part Sudra, part Brahmin, part this. And everyone is so confused about what they should be doing, because they see their world You know, they can do anything, but whatever they do, there's another part of them will want to do something else. So they can't, the people can't even get along with themselves, practically speaking. So when they get married, they're a whole mixture of different modes of material nature. And then they marry someone else who is a completely different mixture of different modes of material nature, from a different culture, from a different background. And what is the result is that you think completely differently from the person that you're with all the time. And the result of that is... How do you know? The result, if you think differently from someone, naturally you come to different conclusions, you want to do different things at different times, and the result is always fighting and stress and strain. And I went to... raise your hand if you've ever been to Pundarik Dham near Chittagong, Bangladesh, on the far eastern part. You haven't even been there. You have been there, yeah. So they call it Dhami. You just get a rickshaw, they say, in Chittagong, I want to go to the Dham. And they'll take you to Pundarik Dham, which is the birthplace of Pundarik Vidyanidhi, who is Pundarik Vidyanidhi in Krishna Lila? Vrishabhanu Maharaj. Vrishabhanu Maharaj. When I went there, it's right on the edge of a very old village that was quite big. I can't remember. At one time, it perhaps had 10,000 or 100,000 people in it, this village. But the way it was organized, the devotee told me, was so interesting that all the washermen lived in one part. All the cowherd people lived in another part of the village. All the pujaris lived in another part of the village. All the gold sellers lived in another part of a village. So it sounds like something very terrible when looked at from the Western perspective. Oh, there's no freedom of mobility or anything. But just all the people who you were living with, like if you were living with all the gold merchants, all they were thinking about is gold all the time, and you knew what everyone was thinking about. Everyone knew how you were thinking. And you got along very well with everyone in your immediate surroundings. And all the dobies, the washermen, were all together. And it was peaceful. And in Kali Yuga, manda samanda mateo, manda abhagya upadrutaha. What we think is progress, all this mobility and this rootlessness, just is another, there are all other causes for disturbed minds, practically speaking. And that's the prime characteristic of Kali Yuga is everyone's mind is upadrutaha, is always disturbed. So this is just on the social interaction level and on the vanashrama level. And when one's mind is always disturbed, how difficult it is to take the spiritual life, because naturally, just one time when Prabhupada was going from New Zealand to India, he stopped in Thailand and looked, and he said, these people are too poor to take to Krishna consciousness. They're too poverty stricken, Prabhupada said. That's a rare thing that Prabhupada would say, but why did he say it? Is because when you're lacking finances, all you can think about is how to get money. And when you're lacking peace of mind, all you can think about is how to get peace of mind. If you're lacking food, all you can think about is getting food to fill your belly. So what the Vanashrama system did is it took, it allowed people to satisfy their material needs in such a way that it would elevate their consciousness, not degrade their consciousness. In a contemporary so-called civilization, the methodology used to meet the material needs, it certainly does meet the material needs, but it causes so much disturbance in the consciousness. And people become atheistical. So therein lies one of the great assets of Bharatvarsha, and one of the great assets of the Vanashrama system, if instituted properly. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had it as an expressed desire, as Prabhupada expresses, I believe in the beginning of the fourth canto, to reestablish Vanashrama so that people can get their material needs met in such a way that they become peaceful, and that the eating, sleeping, mating, defending is all taken care of in a way that people are actually peaceful. When Prabhupada was preaching in India, it was so difficult before he came to the West. It was so difficult to get anyone to join the mission, especially young men. Why? Is because the families were so tight, and no one could take sannyas. No one could leave their mother. No one could leave their father, because there was so much love binding them tightly. So no one could leave to take the spiritual life. There was so much love exchanged in the families that no one could leave. So he did, when he went to the West, that problem didn't exist, practically speaking. And as Kali Yuga progresses, that problem, after some time, won't exist in India either. People will be so disturbed if they watch enough television and all the rest. Their mind, and enough time on the internet, then everyone's mind will be so disturbed and there'll be so little love. That's what Yasomati Nandana Prabhu told me in Gujarat. He said, it's so hard for anyone to become a brahmachari. He said, in your house, if they even put sugar in the dal, how could you leave such a house? In other words, there's sweetness everywhere, even sugar in the dal. How could you leave such a house? So that has its strength, and that people are very secure. In Kali Yuga, everyone is so insecure, because the early years, everything is so disturbed. No one knows what their future is. No one knows even if they get married, if they're going to stay married. The children don't know if their parents are going to stay married. So disturbing. And then you see, on the other hand, I know that there's one family who operate a jewelry store in Lloyd Bazaar, and we used to know the children when they were very, very young. And then suddenly, they go to school up to a certain age until they're 12, 13 or something like that. And then suddenly, there they are sitting in the jewelry shop next to their father, the boys. And they're sitting there. And over the years, you watch them, and they just fall right into place into the jewelry shop. And then they acquire the same bellies, the same characteristics, the same everything. And in one sense, we could criticize, saying, oh, purpose of life, purpose of life, purpose of life is not to make money in a jewelry shop. But it's from the point of view of social stability, which the Bhagavad Gita also does talk about. Social stability is so necessary. Otherwise, everyone comes to spiritual life so maimed and tortured. So that's a curse, but it's also a blessing, as Srila Jiva Goswami describes in one of his commentaries in the 12th canto. He describes that in Kali Yuga, everything is so miserable and people are so distressed. They're forced to hold on to the holy names of Krishna as their solace. There is no other solace in this. And the opulence of Kali Yuga is the anxiety that accompanies everyone, everywhere, at all times, practically speaking. So we should take shelter. Namasraya kore jatana tumi. Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Huh? That's the opulence, the anxiety of Kali Yuga. It's the blessing. It's Krishna's gift. Because you can't find shelter in family, you can't find shelter in your money, because they keep trying to tax it. You can't find shelter in your this, and you can't find shelter in your that. You can't find shelter in your digital camera, because in 2 weeks, as soon as you get the top of the line, they've put out one that's so much better. You just can't find the shelter. Now, she's talking about the Bhagavatam, you're talking about Kali Yuga. About the Bhagavatam. Yes, your only wealth. And you're talking about Kali Yuga, where no one has any fortune. Manda sumanda mateo, manda abhagya. So let's read some from the purport of 19. No one is being trained according to act to the principles of Vanashrama Dhamma. Just imagine if you had only one specific characteristic in your nature, whether it's you played a musical instrument, or you knew how to make money, that was your like, or you're a ruler, or you're an intellectual. Just imagine if you had that one characteristic only, and therefore you would do that, and you'd become expert, and then you'd feel successful. You'd feel successful. And then you would feel secure and satisfied, and you've accomplished something, and then you can move on. But in Kali Yuga, everyone, the undue competition, the undue unsuccesses, you know, the women tend to want to be like the men, and the men want to be like the women. No one is satisfied. Everyone's confused. It's the age of confusion. So whatever you have, and it's said in so many places, the key to happiness is being happy with what you have. So it's very difficult when you have all contradictory tendencies. So therefore, we hold on to the holy names as refuge. But aside from that, if one was attempting to organize society, the principles of Vanashrama are extremely helpful. Therefore, the rulers, when you read, raise your hand if you've read the Mahabharata, and you read what a warrior ruler is like. You know, they're like, or you go to the Jaipur, the palace, and you look in the museum, and there was one king who lived, I don't remember how many years ago, 150 years ago, and they have one of his coats. The fellow was you've seen that? He was like 7 foot tall. And he was incredibly powerful. So this is what people want in a ruler like that. They want someone who's powerful. And you read the Mahabharata, these rulers, and they were fighting, and they would fight to the death, and they would get arrows in them, and they wouldn't care, and they'd have arrows going through them, and they wouldn't care. And they'd go out there and fight for dutifully and for honor. And if someone took shelter of them, they would protect them. They were duty bound to protect them. So that people would love the kings because of their king, because of their nature, because of their chivalrous nature. Because those are the kind of people, government people, that one would like to take shelter of naturally. One feels protected when one is with a person who's 7 foot tall, who's got a sword in each hand, and is walking around, and you know, and a thief comes, does something, and you know, it's off with his hand. And even Prabhupada, and so many times he explained that in Kashmir, even 50 years ago, he said, so that means 100 years ago, if someone drops something on the street, no one would touch it. No one would touch it, even to bring it to the rightful owner. Why? Why wouldn't they touch it, even bring it to the rightful owner? Because that's what everyone would say if they wanted to steal it. Oh, I'm just taking it to the rightful owner. No, don't even touch it. And people would just leave it there, even if it was valuable. And it wasn't because everyone was so ethical, completely 100% ethical. It's because the rulers were strong. And people feared to break the law. That's also required. And yet, because that type of mood tends to fill one with passion, because you're dealing with that mode of material nature, therefore they would be obedient to the Brahmins. And what's the job of the Brahmins? Peacefulness. They would know Shastra. And they would be renounced, detached, ideally. Detached, renounced. They would know Shastra. And people could come and ask them a question and not they wouldn't type it into the Veda base and pull out some quotation and just take it out. No, they have assimilated, they would assimilate the whole thing, all of Shastra, at least in their particular area, so they could give a considered opinion based on the wisdom of knowing what to apply at what particular time and place, according to the questions asked and according to the need. And they kept the society in order on its spiritual progress. So they made sure that the kings, although they were so powerful, they were submissive to the Brahmanas. And then there were the Vaishyas, whose business and love and thought was making money. So let them make their money. Krishigodakshavanidam. No big mercantile rulers who have so much money that they support both sides in the war, and then whoever wins owes them everything and then become completely indebted to them and the big banks and everything like that. No, they were Vaishyas. Vaishya means which modes of material nature? Huh? Passion and ignorance. And you see this when you go to any bazaar in India. Because they're all completely asleep until someone walks in. And then you walk in and then suddenly they're up. You want to buy something, okay. Then you go out, back to sleep. Passion, ignorance. Kshatriya is passion, energy for battle. So you're reading the Mahabharata. These people had such a spirit. They were ready to die. For honor, and they would be, and had so much. This was their faith was represented in this very active way, because their faith was that if they died in the battle, they would be elevated to the heavenly planets. So that was their practical demonstration of the realization they're not their body. While the Brahmin would have that in their detachment, they would have it in their willing to die on the battlefield. And the Sudras, humble, working, serving others, being taken care of. Honest. Very difficult to find nowadays. And if everyone knew what they were, the Vaishyas, they move into the family business like that, and they just move right into it. They don't have to go to they have association with their parent, with their the boys, with their fathers. They work alongside their father for so many years. They don't grow up like nowadays. The big thing is not the big thing nowadays, but when the politicians want to get elected, they say we're going to increase the jobs. There was no such thing as jobs, 400 or 500 years ago. This is all just factory stuff. Jobs. So the job immediately takes the father, hundreds of miles away, often away from his son. So the son grows up not having a deep relationship with his father, more confusion, more insecurity. The daughter goes to school, doesn't know how to cook. So very, very, very difficult without this Vanashram system. But the difficulty can be turned into the blessing if we take shelter of the holy names. So Prabhupada in the last part of this purport says, thus people are becoming increasingly degraded and are heading in the direction of animal life. The real aim of life is liberation. So in Varnashrama, the Brahmins make sure that everyone knows that that is the goal. But unfortunately, the opportunity for liberation is being denied to people in general, and therefore the human lives are being spoiled. The Krishna consciousness movement, however, is being propagated all over the world to reestablish the Varnashrama Dharma system and thus save human society from gliding down to hellish life. But so the Krishna consciousness movement is to reestablish this, but it's so difficult because it's in the Western culture especially, or all the cultures, no one wants to be anything but the topmost position. Great difficulty. So if one has a kshatriya nature, one won't want to control everything, and the last thing one will want to do, if one controls it, wants to control everything, if that's one's nature, is to establish a Varnashrama system, because that puts the Brahmins above them. So it's somewhat complicated, but it's so difficult. The devotees even have resisted in every way. No one wants to be designated a Vaishya or a Sudra or even a Kshatriya. We're all transcendental. And what was Prabhupada's answer to that when he saw the devotees weren't able to maintain the transcendental position, and he always started talking about establishing Varnashrama, and the devotee said, but I thought we're transcendental. And Prabhupada's reply was, if they are transcendental, why are they falling down? So we need the support of society, a society that supports our elevation. But without that, we need more shelter in Krishna's holy names. And we see that human society gliding down to hellish life, to animal life, to more misery. There's so many of the children in the schools have severe psychological disorders and are on medication. The children in the schools, in the elementary schools, medication due to their severe psychological disorders. Heavy. So what is Varnashrama's purpose? 20. After many, many births, when the results of one's pious activities mature, one gets an opportunity to associate with pure devotees. Then one is able to cut the knot of bondage to ignorance, which bound him because of varied fruit of activities. How does one do that? By understanding, by associating with devotees, by hearing from them, one understands that Vivera Sarupoi Krishna Nityadas. I'm not any of these things. Then one gives up his fruit of activities and begins Krishna karma, service to Krishna. So then, as a result of associating with devotees, one gradually renders service to Lord Vasudeva, who is transcendental, free from attachment to the material world. So we've been hearing about that in the previous prayers. Beyond the mind and words, and independent of everything else, that bhakti yoga, devotional service to Lord Vasudeva, is the real path of liberation. So that is the goal of Varnashrama. We'll read just the last half of, or from the half of the first paragraph of Prabhupada's purport a little bit further. In the material world, everyone have where we're reading from? In the material world, that's the fifth line. In the material world, in the bodily concept of life, everyone is working in the wrong direction. When one becomes Brahma-Bhuta, spiritually realized, one understands that he is not the body, and that working in the bodily concept of life is useless and misdirected. Then his devotional service begins. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatman, Asochati Nakanchati, Samasarveshu Bhuteshu, Madhbhaktim, Labhate Param. One who is thus transcendentally situated realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments or desires to have anything. He is equally disposed to all living entities. To every living entity. In that state he attains pure devotional service unto me. Devotional service is actually liberation. When one is attracted by the beauty of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his mind is always engaged at the Lord's lotus feet, he's no longer interested in subjects that do not help him in self-realization. In other words, he loses all attraction for material activities. Isn't that an interesting explanation of liberation? Interesting, devotional, and directs us towards becoming attracted to Krishna. Not towards trying to understand we're not our body, for example, but to become attracted to Krishna. And how to become attracted to Krishna?
Chant
His holy name. Yeah, to hear about Him, His holy place, to worship His vigraha. Hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam Shravan. 21. Since the human form of life is the sublime position for spiritual realization, all the demigods in heaven speak in this way. How wonderful it is that these human beings to have been born in the land of Bharatvarsha. So what is the speciality of Bharatvarsha? The Vanashrama system. And what is this, the purpose of the Vanashrama system? Is to elevate one towards liberation. And what's the best method of elevation and the best position of liberation? Is to become attracted to Krishna. So how fortunate, even the demigods are thinking like this. Usually we want the pleasure of the demigods. Why? Because it's wonderful for the senses. But how fortunate are the residents of Bharatvarsha? They must have executed pious acts of austerity in the past. Or the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself must have been pleased with them. Otherwise, how could they engage in devotional service in so many ways? We demigods can only aspire to achieve human births in Bharatvarsha to execute devotional service. But these human beings are already engaged there. So what is the benefit of taking birth in India? How does that automatically give one a facility? Not just one answer to this, but what facilities? What facilities are given by them taking their birth? What facilities are given by that? They took their birth, so therefore the places of their birth are there. So you can visit them, that's one. So there, it's just so much part of the culture, you're born into it. Westerners have to learn how to put on the dhoti right, and you know, how to do all the things right and everything. And Indians just automatically, it's quite simple. Mataji, you wanted to say something? What's benefit? So many holy places. Holy rivers, just by remembering them, bathing in them. Did any of you ever hear of the holy Hudson River in New York? No, it's not. It's not holy. But there's hundreds of holy rivers. Nowadays they call the children Pinky and Twinkle and Bubbly and things like that. Yes, it's true. Pinky. Pinky's a very popular name. Bubbly. Bubbly. Twinkle? You have a twinkle in your family?
Yes, thank
you. You have a twinkle. What other reasons? Just naturally, the faith in the deity. In the Bhagavad Gita. Naturally. They know when they see a sadhu to offer obeisances. Because you want them to put coins there. Ah. That kind of pujari, okay. Also this one, now the purport. These facts about the glories of the birth in Bharatvarsha or explain the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Bharata Bhumate Hoyla Manusha Janmaya Janma Sataka Kari Kara Upakar. So in this verse, Prabhupada is certainly taking it the land of Bharatvarsha is India. One who has taken his birth as a human being in the land of India, Bharatvarsha, should make his life successful and work for the benefit of all other people. There are many facilities in India, Bharatvarsha, for executing devotional service. In Bharatvarsha, all the acharyas contributed their experience, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally appeared to teach the people of Bharatvarsha how to progress in spiritual life and be fixed in devotional service to the Lord. But from all points of view, Bharatvarsha is the special land where one can very easily understand the process of devotional service and adopt it to make his life successful. If one makes his life successful in devotional service and then preaches devotional service in other parts of the world, people throughout the world will actually benefit. So Prabhupada should actually get the highest award from the government of India for spreading the glories of India. What award was that? Huh? Yeah, I know, but that was from his disciple. But not from the government of India. Yeah, right. But the people that saw, someone asked Advani, said, Prabhupada should get Bharat Ratna Award. And these people are so intelligent, these politicians. So he said, that is not good enough for Prabhupada. For what Prabhupada has done. And it's a fact. But yet they should give him the topmost award. Because he's really spread the glories of India. And then the final verse we shall read. The demigods continued. After performing the very difficult tasks of executing Vedic ritualistic sacrifices, undergoing austerities, observing vows, and giving charity, we, the demigods are saying this, we have achieved this position as inhabitants of the heavenly planets. But what is the value of this achievement? Here we are certainly very engaged in material sense gratification, and therefore we can hardly remember the lotus feet of Lord Narayan. Indeed, because of our excessive sense gratification, we have almost forgotten his lotus feet. And from the second part of the purport, people in the land of Bharatvarsha generally follow the Vedic principles and consequently perform great sacrifices by which they can be elevated to the heavenly planets. This is the tendency. However, what is the use of such great attainments? As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Chine Punye Martyalokam Vashanti, after the results of one's sacrifices, charity, and other pious activities expire, one must return to the lower planetary systems and again feel the pangs of birth and death. However, one who becomes Krishna conscious can go back to Krishna, Yanti Madhyajano Pimam. Therefore, the demigods even regret having been elevated to the higher planetary systems. The denizens of the heavenly planets regret that they could not take full advantage of being born in the land of Bharatvarsha. Instead, they become captivated by a higher standard of sense gratification, and therefore they forgot the lotus feet of Lord Narayan at the time of death. The conclusion is that one who has taken birth in the land of Bharatvarsha must follow the instructions given personally by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yad gatva na navartante tad dhammam paramam mama. One should try to return home back to Godhead, to the Vaikuntha planets, or to the topmost Vaikuntha planet, Goloka Vrindavan, to live eternally in full blissful knowledge in the company of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we should do that. We should attempt to become extremely attracted to living in the company of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, attracted to his beautiful form, his beautiful pastimes, his beautiful, wonderful qualities, his very sweet flute even. Okay, thank you very much. Any questions or comments? short class today. But what's their specific difficulty?
There?
Yes.
They are attached to sense.
But they have such an incredible facility for sense pleasure. The atmosphere is so conducive for sense pleasure. It's very difficult for them to actually wish to take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. The specific facility of life on earth, so to speak, is the mixture of happiness and distress that continuously occurs and that always pushes us. We can't find a happy position for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And if we did, we too would probably forget Krishna, however much we remember him. If that's their desire, everything depends on desire. If they're yogis who have gone to the higher planets due to their failures in yogi, as the Bhagavad Gita explains, and they come back to attracted to their yogic practice. But it's quite mysterious. You know, what causes one to take birth as one, and the attractions that... Like, how many of you in this room, when you were younger, were attracted to yoga or some type of spiritual life? And here you all are, in Vrindavan. So what causes that? It's not an accident. You keep looking at, you know, you're looking for that thing to connect from your desires from the previous life. How many of you, when you came to Vrindavan for the first time or to Mayapur, felt like you were, this was actually your home? So these things aren't, it's not just, and then how many of you, after you were here for the hot season, wished to go on a vacation to some other home? Well, that's why we ended up taking a birth where we took our birth, because of the, you know, you end up, you're in a place and it's got the spiritual facility. And you see this with so many of the Indians. Now you can rewrite it in the great facility of taking birth in Bharatvarsha. As you know, you could get a green card to the United States or something like that. You know, people, this is what happens. They think, oh, we're a poor country and look at these people, let me get the facilities there. So, really, what's required is to keep the consciousness focused on what the actual goal is. What is the actual goal? Seems like we have to be extremely convinced of this. That there's nothing else really, even if there's austerity involved, there's nothing else that can really be gained in life other than service to the lotus feet of Sri Guru and Gauranga and Sri Radha Krishna. Otherwise, when we allow our mind to branch to other things, then we have to take other births to facilitate, and then we have to come back and pick up again. And then our mind branches, Bahu Shaka Tvanantasya Bhudya Avya Sayanam. That's why Vyavya Satmika Bhudya is required, that focused intelligence. Otherwise, if we become Bahu Shaka, what does Bahu Shaka mean? Many branches, then we have to follow those branches. And it just takes so long. So, you know, you can see how it is. What's the real thing? It's becoming, at the deepest core of one's existence, becoming a devotee of the devotees of Krishna. At the deepest level. Because you could see, I could see myself. So many times I think, oh, only if I knew Sanskrit, you know, then I can read the commentaries, that means I have to take births to do that. And then after I learned, you know, Sanskrit, oh, only if I could sing like a Vrindavan and play musical instruments, then I have to take more births to do that. And then when you have those two, Then the next one is how only if I was better looking or something like that, or if I was stronger, only if this or this. You just go on with the only ifs, the only ifs, the only if. There really should be only one only if, and that is only if, yeah, spoken in other terms, only if.
Love,
devotional service, Krishna consciousness, loving service. Only if that was what I was desiring, and let Krishna take care of all the rest. Yes, Prabhu.
Back to demigods.
It seems that there are two categories, because we see also that major demigods came along even prior to the advent of Lord Mahaprabhu. Prior to the advent of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
There were demigods.
Demigods were sent forth to take the, even for Krishna. So those demigods, obviously they must be master demigods or major demigods. Then,
Where is the example with Krishna and Krishna's leader?
Yes.
But what would they do?
They were preparing the
How did they prepare?
The deer plants in different ways.
Some of the coward boys were demigods.
Like minor demigods?
You're talking about in their consciousness or in their position and power?
In the consciousness.
This is like a sentiment too. When you see, say you have a position, and you see the ordinary devotees who are doing, quote, ordinary devotees who are doing menial service and things like that. And sometimes the position gives you so much anxiety, you think, only if I could just be. So then if you want to be like that, then you can be like that. So if you want to take your birth in Bharatvarsha, you can do it. But maybe there's attachments. But they're seeing the benefits. Because every material situation dissatisfies. The promise, before you have it, the promise is there of satisfaction, but you never become satisfied. So always there's lamentation. Certainly if they want to take birth. But we should also see how Lakshmi Devi, she wanted to become a gopi, but she couldn't do it. She had attachment. She was too attached to that, almost like upadi. You'll bathe in the Jamuna? Okay, thank you very much. Srila Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.